Coffee with Cudmore.
Light 104.7 and 1570 AM WVTL.
Stories from the Mohawk Valley. Readings of the entries in my recent contest, Stories from the Mohawk Valley. Today, the first story will deal with the subject of a popular tavern in days of old in the East End of Amsterdam.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
This entry was sent in by Sean Duffy, who lives in East St. Louis, Missouri. And Sean Duffy's entry on O'Shaughnessy's Tavern in the East End was one of our top 10. Sean is descended from the folks that owned O'Shaughnessy's, which was on East Main Street at the corner with the Eagle Street years ago. My grandfather, Martin O'Shaughnessy, owned O'Shaughnessy's Tavern, the corner of Eagle Street and East Main in Amsterdam, from the early 1900s. I don't really remember Martin Sr., or Martin Jr. for that matter, but the tavern is slightly famous, as it was mentioned in Kirk Douglas's book, The Ragman's Son. What I do remember is my Uncle Edward, who everyone in the family called Eb, and others called Midge, or K.O., running the place. When I was a young child, we used to visit my grandparents' home, which was actually an apartment building next door to the tavern. My grandmother, Rose Malarkey O'Shaughnessy, talk about Irish, right, was still alive, and Eb was running the bar. O'Shaughnessy's tavern then had a long shuffleboard, which I was allowed to play on for free. The bar also had one of the first color TVs in the area, so it brought in a big crowd on football Sunday. Looking back on it from today, the TV was pretty small, the color was pretty bad, and it probably cost a small fortune. Eb was also known as K.O., because even though he was slight in stature, around 4'5" or so, he did have a small baseball bat, which he used as an ice crusher. From what I understand, he used it more than once on people who got too rowdy in the bar. The story was that if someone got out of line, Eb would grab the ice crusher bat out of the ice bin, jump up on the bar, take a good swing at whoever was out of line, including Kirk Douglas's dad, known as Harry Dembski. I guess it's a bit surprising that the bar survived Prohibition, as so many did not. My mom, Mary O'Shaughnessy Duffy, told me that she used to help make bathtub gin when she was about 10, actually in the bathtub. And her brother, Martin Jr., sold the moonshine off the back porch to make ends meet during those hard times. Martin Jr. had polio and was confined to a wheelchair. I always wondered if the coppers kind of turned their heads to not see a paralyzed person selling illegal moonshine off the back porch to help an old Irish tavern survive during the hard Prohibition times. I guess at this point, we will never know, will we? Sean Duffy with the tale from Old Amsterdam, O'Shaughnessy's Tavern in the East End.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away?
Our next story from the Mohawk Valley was written by Christine Eggleston of the town of Minden. It has to do with the March King, John Philip Sousa, and St. Johnsville. Christine says, many moons ago, I was interviewing the niece, who was about 75 at the time, of a lady named Jenny Zoller, whose claim to fame was that she had once been the friend, in quotes, of John Philip Sousa, the March King. Jenny Zoller had lived in St. Johnsville, and when John Philip Sousa passed through, he made the train stop so he could see Jenny. They had once been closer friends when Jenny's father lived in Washington. She was the daughter of the former town of Minden egg farmer Abraham Zoller, who got into politics and once held the highest position in the U.S. Treasury at that time after the Civil War. Jesse Zoller was a student in Washington, D.C., at the time she became acquainted with a fledgling musician, John Philip Sousa, much to her father's disdain. Sousa's father had enlisted him in the United States Marine Band, where Sousa's father had also performed, in 1868. After departing the band in 1875, Sousa eventually learned to conduct, but at the time, politician Zoller did not want his daughter to frolic with the musician, so he put the kibosh on that romance years and years after her death. She had become a spinster music teacher in St. Johnsville. I heard of the romance and wanted to write a Valentine story for whatever paper I was working on at the time. I interviewed the niece, Dorcas Devendorf, now sadly deceased, who showed me handwritten notes and programs signed by John Philip Sousa. And I was leaving, she said, "Oh, I have this handwritten thing for years. You take it." She wrote it. I looked at it and trembled at the thought that it was a journal, but nope, no such luck. It was a very bad attempt at a novel. Handwritten, no paragraphs to speak of. I've never read the entire thing. Still have it in a drawer. John Philip Sousa and his lady friend, Miss Zoller of St. Johnsville. And Stories from the Mohawk Valley will resume next week. Tomorrow at 8:10, we'll have Richard the Schenectady Barber as our guest. And when we start with next week's readings, we will start with Rosemary Coca Forrest of Amsterdam, who grew up at 15 Guy Park Avenue in what she calls a lost block that used to have a shoe repair shop, a market, Chinese laundry, and more. Also on Monday, a story by Michael Glenn of Scotia, writing about a memorable childhood trip with the junior division of the Ancient Order of Hibernians in Schenectady, who visited Nickerson's campground in Gilboa. Stories from the Mohawk Valley, the book that started it all, my book Stories from the Mohawk Valley, The Painted Rocks, The Good Benedict Arnold, and more, is available wherever books are sold. You can pick up signed copies at the Bookhound, 16 East Main Street in Amsterdam, or the Old Peddler's Wagon, 175 Church Street in Amsterdam.